Good morning to you. Happy Friday. Welcome to Morning Tea and Allegation, and I'm so excited to be with you today. Today is episode 6. The title is 32 days. We have 32 days into the presidential election, and boy oh boy, has this just been an interesting October already. So I just want to just say thank you for tuning in. If you're on the replay, thank you. And if you're listening to this on the podcast, thank you. And thank you for your support and your love in this venture and this journey. It's greatly appreciated. And I'm just here to just do the work of the people. Okay. Now, I want to go ahead and get started, as y'all already know, with my church announcements. Amen. So let's go ahead and get this up. So election day is on November 3rd, folks. And the last day to register to vote in Florida is October 5th, which is right around the corner. So please get registered to vote. Encourage your neighbor, your church members, whoever, encourage them and make sure that they are registered to vote and making sure that they are going line by line on these ballots, because it is very important that we are intentional with who we're selecting in office. It is very important that we literally go line by line to make sure that we are selecting the best people for these seats, because the time is now. We are just seeing all this corruption unfold, and we need people to be held accountable. And how you can do that is by taking your ballot to the ballot box and filling it in completely. So make sure that you register to vote and encourage others to do so. Now, I briefly want to talk about the debate in this church announcement, because the debate really honed in on everything that we've been talking about, right? So if you watch the debate, it was a complete nightmare. And it's like, yo, this is what we're left with. These two people are who we're left with to run this country. I can now understand why our children are losing hope. I'm curious to know what the children think about the debate. I'm going to do some digging and maybe have an event for that. But just looking at the event lets you know the type of time that we're on in this world. And it's very divisive. It's very chaotic. And we just need to be very intentional, because I'm telling you, just watching a debate was just awful. Good morning, Gretchen. So that's what I have to say about that. The Sunshine Education Coalition is coming out this month in October. So please make sure that you follow the movement. You can visit them going to sunshineeducationcoalition.org. And if you want to be involved in the movement, make sure that you are following the squad. Okay. Amen. Also in October, we're hosting candidate forums for our school board candidates. And tonight we will be covering District 1 and District 3 in Hillsborough County. Both Steve Kona and Mitch Thrower declined the same day, minutes apart, beyond me, don't know. So I've changed the event a bit to make it more special for the candidates that are participating. So I will be having a sit down with these candidates, and I'm inviting you to come onto the stream with us so that we can have conversations about education. And if you just want to come on and show support of your candidate, you're definitely able to do that. And I've even opened the phone line, so you don't want to miss it. It starts at 6 p.m. tonight and it ends at 8. So again, we have District 1 and District 3 in Hillsborough County. So shout out to Nadia Combs and Jessica Vaughn that will be joining me tonight. On October the 4th, Teaching for the Culture has partnered with the Florida Student Power Network, and they are hosting the school roundtable. And they're talking about COVID and what students can do to break the school to prison pipeline. I just want to be very clear that the students created this. I'm very thankful that I met Nate. He is a recent graduate at USF. And so the event is at 4 p.m. and you can actually hear me speak at the event, and there's a link to sign up. So I just want to go ahead and post this here so that you can see the event. And please make sure that you sign up. I will make sure that I put the link in the comments so that you can sign up. It's a free event that the kids are putting on, and they want to talk about the reopening for them and the school to prison pipeline. So it makes my heart just so complete in order to just be a part of it and knowing that students are there. So with that being said, there's some other church announcements and disclaimers that I need to play. So I will be right back. Thank you, church members, as we have additional announcements and disclaimers that require your full attention. I report the news, so don't try me with the copyright. In addition, the views and opinions on Morning Tea and Allegations belong to me. If you have any questions, bring your receipts so that we can talk. If you get froggy with me, don't expect me to go high and be the bigger person. I will clap back and sage later. God is still working on me. Thank you for your attention and govern yourselves accordingly. Amen. This episode is sponsored by ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN is the best way that you can securely go on the web without your information being tracked. Stay private with a VPN and go to the link www.biancagoolsby.com/VPN. It's a 30-day free trial, so there's nothing to lose. So look, we're going back to this. If you have not watched The Social Dilemma on Netflix, I need to know why not. So if you did and you watched The Social Dilemma, please write in the comments, I did my homework. And for those of you that haven't watched it, you're going to write, I'll get to it yet. I'll get to it. Okay. The Social Dilemma, I'm talking about it because it's really important that you be intentional. These social media platforms, the algorithms, and the way that they are set up, they're done strategically. And I wish that we could have that same energy with people creating educational software so that we can impact and move our children. Because, like, if only the inventors of TikTok would, you know, make educational programs that make it so addicting as TikTok, you know, maybe something that we can really get our kids motivated and incentivized to reading and learning and, you know, developing their brain. You know, the brain, they have a famous quote with it. If, you know, you don't use it, you lose it. And that is something that is really happening in our world. And we're on social media and we're doing the Zoom scrolling. And how I call it is it's like the death. Like you're just zoomed in to your phone and you're just scrolling. And how many of you actually have taken your cell phone with you to the bathroom and you've realized that you've been in the bathroom significantly longer than if you had not had your phone and just did your business and get out? Like, it's these little things that we need to think about and the patterns and the habits that we're developing and also what we're showing our children, because we're really, really tuned in into these devices. And I'm telling you, please watch The Social Dilemma. I can't even speak on it enough. Please, please, please. So again, I urge that there's 32 days until the presidential election and there is so much happening at a point of no return. And this is why I talk about how this is a Twilight Zone. So, you know, people I receive don't. So let's go ahead and get into it. So I don't know if you guys saw this, but let me go ahead and put it up on my screen because I feel as though people should know that, you know, we have a lot of things happening in our world. This is the First Amendment complaint about Breonna Taylor. And they have some receipts where, you know, these people that are entrusted to provide law and order and to uphold their duties and to be ethical and to be honest and to be accountable, you know, they are, you know, changing out times and dates on documentation. They're not following through procedures. And so this is a whole 31-page document that was filed in the court. And so now there's conversations as to, you know, were they even supposed to be there? And, you know, it's one of those things where a lot of people have made the Breonna Taylor situation very politicized and they have used it for their own political agenda. And at the end of the day, this is what I'm going to say, that someone died. Someone died and it needs to be handled with care. And so if I was an officer and I shot someone and I know that it's going to be an issue that someone died, you would think that I would do everything in my power and my capacity to make sure that I'm very intentional with what I write down in statements and what I say and what I do to ensure that I am protecting me, to ensure that I am doing what I'm supposed to do according to the law. But that's not happening. You literally have these officers that are so desensitized to violence, and they are out here really just thinking that this is a video game. They're out here with their guns just thrown out on people, and it doesn't have to be that way. What happened to the officers that are just, you know, interacting with people? What happened to officers that just want to just have a conversation with folks and not just want to just pull out your gun and try to intimidate somebody or assert their power? And I'm not saying, and I don't want to lump all police officers into this, you know, situation, because there are some police officers that are really, really good police officers. And there are some resource officers that are really, really good resource officers. But we just saw in the news at Plant City where the resource officer was abusing an autistic child in Tampa, Florida. So there are some people that need to be vetted in these positions. And this is what I'm saying. All of this stuff is coming to the light. So I hope that moving forward, people are accountable, they're transparent, and they operate in integrity. That's it. I keep talking about it because it's so simple. And some people get tired of me saying it, but seriously, think about it. If you are accountable and you admit when you're wrong, if you're transparent and you always tell the truth and you operate in integrity doing what's right when you know no one is looking, come on. So it's a lot going on. And I just really hope that people are intentional. So let's keep moving. So there's news outlets that's out here and they're circulating with their own agenda and the news. And then now the news has their paywalls, and that wasn't there before. So now you have where basically now people are just reading the headlines, because so many of these different news articles that we're seeing on Facebook have a paywall where you either have to put your email address in order to get access to the news, or you have to pay $1 for a subscription. So it literally basically has people just reading the headlines, forming their own narratives, and it doesn't work when people are trying to seek truth. It just doesn't. And so the leader in our country has COVID-19. International news is having a field day. And I'm going to just say this. First of all, I want to know if this is true. If Trump does have COVID-19, his advisor had tested positive. He was aware of that. And he yet and still went on a plane and went to another event to possibly infect other people. Like, it just doesn't make sense. And so at the end of the day, like, he's saying that he has COVID-19, but this is coming from the same individual that has not been transparent about his, let me show you this. Okay. Screen share, my bad. So there we go. So this is the article where Trump showed his exam. He said he was in very good health. And the exam that was done basically was propaganda. It did not have any thorough information. I mean, there's the receipt right there of his medical records. I'll post the link here so that y'all can read it yourself. But I'm just telling you, like, this is from the same person who does not want to be honest and transparent about their medical records. Yet, you know, at the same time, we're talking about he has COVID-19. I don't know. People need to start asking questions. But like I say, people out receipts don't. And I just say we need to get the receipts, because there is some people out here, you know, locally that, you know, lies about having COVID-19, too. So I see some people in the chat, and I just want to say, hey, how you doing? Thank y'all for watching and tuning in to Morning Teen Allegations. And Terry says allegedly, he allegedly has I want to see the receipts. I want to see the receipts, because I don't believe it. I don't think he would ever admit to having COVID, especially when he said it was a hoax. So again, I want to see the receipts. Okay. Hey, Veronica. Good morning. How you doing? Again, people out receipts don't go get those receipts. So this is the request. Don't believe Donald Trump. Go get them receipts, because he lied about everything. Okay. Good morning. Hey, Leah, how you doing? Look, y'all go get those receipts. Okay. Moving forward. Do y'all know what's happening with the Department of Homeland Security? Because they're dealing with a whole bunch of scandals right now, and this is the department that's supposed to protect us, and they're out here playing games. So there was a whistleblower that had filed a complaint earlier this month that alleged that political appointees in the department were instructed to modify the intelligence assessments to suit President Trump's agenda, and basically downplaying Russia's interference. So a whistleblower came forward and made a complaint. The spokesperson at the Department of Homeland Security basically denies everything that's happening. It really sounds familiar, right? And, you know, let me see here. This right here from CNN, y'all. And there's a lot of stuff happening with the Department of Homeland Security, like a lot. So now there's subpoenas going out because, you know, they have been withholding records and they have not been trying to provide receipts. And so, you know, I hope that they figure that out soon and update the public on what's happening, because again, this is a department where taxpayers' money is being funneled in order to do it. Now, back to the question, had debate fever. Yeah, so I'm hearing that Donald Trump doesn't want to debate anymore. And this is why, you know, he said he had COVID-19, which basically shuts his campaigning down. But, you know, if he really has COVID-19, then he will stay inside. If he doesn't, it's going to be hard for him to. So we're going to see, you know, if he's out here caught playing golf, or he's out here in these streets, he's out here trying to collect money and out here with the people, because he definitely likes to be hit with the people. Okay. And okay. So back to the Department of Homeland Security, because this is really important, okay? And so the next thing that the Department of Homeland Security is dealing with, and let me go ahead and share you this, because this is what I'm talking about. So there's a privacy violation with the biometric data with the Department of Homeland Security. So what do you mean by that? Well, so they're dealing with a scandal because of how they handle their biometric data. So they retain data from facial recognition and also digital fingerprints. So there was a breach that happened about a year ago. Not sure if you knew that or not, but there was a subcontractor that was hired to help with collecting data on the people that crossed the border. And this subcontractor used a unencrypted USB drive and was able to transfer the data to their USB drive. And that was against their privacy policy. It came into the light when the company that the Department of Homeland Security hired had hacked. It was hacked. And then now it all came out. Now, I'm just going to say this because I'm in this whole internet security world, that I'm pretty sure that Bitcoin had, you know, there was some Bitcoin transactions with this, because the contractor went and got the data, went back to their company. And then the next thing you know, the company was hacked with ransomware, and then it all came out. Is the timing of that is very suspect to me. So I really do think that this was something that was orchestrated, and this is allegedly, and I allegedly think that Bitcoin, somebody got a check with this, because there's a lot of hacking stuff going on, and it's not for free. And I'm just telling you, if I wasn't a white hat, I would be rich. I would be rich. Mm-hmm. Okay. But that's not all. That is not all. So then, go ahead and put this up too. Okay. So then now, you know, the Department of Homeland Security, okay, and also the Department of Defense is in this too. But basically, they're out here trying to find these, you know, campaigns of hacking. Like, so with everything that's being virtual and everything online, I'm telling you, like, when I advertise for a VPN, like, I'm serious. Like, I really need you guys to get a VPN and really secure your data when you're browsing online. It's important. And so, you know, there is a whole bunch of cyber attacks that's happening. If you have your own website, you need to make sure that you're on a internet security plan, that you're working with your developer to make sure that they have plans in place in order to protect your website. Because I'm telling you, there's websites that are being taken out left and right, and there's cyber crimes that are being happening. There are cyber crimes that are happening, and it's hard to hold people accountable when there's a lot of things that can be done to where it masks your identity. So it's something that people need to pay attention to. So there are campaigns and cyber stuff that's happening, and a lot of people are not aware with it. Aware of it, but it's really important that you are intentional, folks, and making sure that you protect your data as best you can, because it's wild out here. And then, of course, the Department of Homeland Security is involved with a scandal with Kyle Rittenhouse. That's all I'm going to say on that. Some serious things are being exposed. Now, speaking of serious things that's being exposed, we need to talk about this money situation in Hillsborough County Public Schools, baby, because I have been telling you guys for months to follow the money. I have been telling you that, you know, the money don't add up, that this is going to be a big deal, and I was showing the receipts. So, okay, we're going to go back, and I'm going to show you something from season one. And this was something that I created, and I want you to pay attention to the numbers, and then we're going to dissect that, okay? Let me find it. So, I got some tea today. Woo, child. Y'all about to lose y'all jobs. Y'all about to lose y'all seats. And somebody going to jail for this money going missing. So come on down to the Price is Right. And we are calling all board members to the front of the congregation, especially the finance committee. We have Steve Kona, Melissa Snively, and Tamara Schamberger. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and we're going to look at the budget amendments that I have shared. I posted this on my website. I've talked about this several times, and we're going to go through this again together because I want to go back to conversations in July about this situation. And there's like people that are like, oh my gosh. And I'm like, but this was talked about in July. So let's follow along here. Okay. So these are all of the budget amendments that the board approves. And if you look, there is a date on which it tells you the date it was approved and the month that it was calculated and totaled. Okay. So if we keep going down here, like literally all of this is together, is several pages. Okay. A total of 8. I want to look between. Okay. Let's start here. So this is ending in March. This was approved in April, okay? And excess, they had 11 million, okay? And then the fund balance was 169, okay? Now, if we're going to go down here, you will see that the deficiency now in 1 month, okay? This was March 31st. This is now April. Okay. So the deficiency is 40. but it was excess 11 a month prior to that. So questions should have taken place in June. It should have been before then, but just at this example, in June, there should have been questions on June 9th when they talked about the consent agenda, because this was approved on the consent agenda. They should have been asking questions as to where did this chunk of money go between the month of March and the month of April, because there was 11 in excess and now it is a 40 deficiency. I'm trying to keep the numbers simple to make it easy for everyone, including myself. Then we look at the fund balance. So we look at the fund balance as of March right here, okay, 169. And in 1 month, the fund balance went to $118. And obviously it's not 118, okay? I'm just making the math simple for the folks in the back. So questions should have taken place on June 9th when they approve this. Okay. So it brings me to now May, which was approved in July. And then I want to play a clip from July's meeting since everyone is acting as if we don't know what the heck is going on around here. So then the deficiency went to 101. Now it was just at 40. So a negative 40. Now we have a negative 101. Right. So, you know, folks, I'm not understanding the selective participation of these board members. They were really trying to finesse y'all, you know, at the last board meeting to make it seem as though they have this under control and they know what they're doing and, you know, all of this good stuff. This money has been dwindling and they have been approving it on the consent agenda and have not said anything publicly about it. So again, I will post this in the comments so that you can read it yourself, so that you can be intentional in watching this and following the money. Now, what I find quite interesting about all of it, though, is I find interesting that, you know, there's different narratives out here about, you know, the loan that had to be taken out for payroll. So I want to go back to a comment from school board member Tamara Schamberger, which she brings up this point very vocally, but I want to be very clear on the record. School board member Tamara Schamberger serves on the finance committee. It's public on the website, okay? It's her, Melissa Snively, and Steve Kona. What they talk about on this committee, I have no idea. You probably should ask them questions. But this is her comment that she said back in July when we were talking about this financial issue.
Ms. Schamberger?
Thank you so much, Madam Chair. So let me just simply say this, disrespectful at its finest. It's amazing that here we are again repeating history. I'm not going to belabor beat the dead horse. Member Stewart and Dr. Hahn has really said it all eloquently, but this absolutely has to change. This is precisely the reason I have requested a workshop, and I really want this board to really consider seriously about putting a pause on everything as much as we possibly can until we get this under control. It makes absolutely no sense that this board is in this position. Again, you know, when we talk about the bargaining team, the negotiations, let me just remind you how hard of a time that was. It's that behavior is the reason teachers were forced to go a year without a pay raise. It was agonizing for this board. We had sleepless nights. It was tough. And here we are repeating that same behavior. So it's disappointing to say the least, but certainly is disrespectful. But let me just move on and ask you, Ms. Saunders. So we know that our fund balance now is just woefully low. The lowest has been, I think, since I've been on the board. But we know come October, November is when we really see a dip in our fund balance so we can use that funds to continue the operations of the district. Now with the $50 million deficit, I mean, what's going to happen in October, November? How are we going to pay our staff? How are we going to continue to run this district with a big chunk of our money now gone?
Thank you, Ms. Schamberger. What we'll have to do, and we've already been looking at it in the prior couple of years because our revenues were coming in later and later, a tax anticipation note. So we will have to issue a tax anticipation note to come to bring us through, especially November, and then you repay that back within 60 days.
But just elaborating that a little bit more, would you please, Ms. Saunders? How does this affect the community? How does this affect even our debt or the district? Is there no penalty for this tax anticipation note?
No, ma'am. I'm sorry. No, there isn't. It's just a short-term loan issued until your tax, and that's what it's based on. The tax revenue is coming in. So the whole loan is pledged on the taxes, the property taxes coming in or the state revenues coming in, which, like I've said before, we're, you know, we get most of our money from state, but then as November comes back, we start receiving our property taxes. So that's what comes in at the end. But with this, we've already been talking to Jerry Ford about doing the tax anticipation. We talked to the rating agencies about it already too, because we knew our numbers were coming close. So, but I'm sure it's a short-term loan. Yes, you're right.
Short-term loan. Okay. Mr. Superintendent, you know, we certainly rely on you to right this ship once again. I really hope that this is the last time we'll have to have this type of conversation. We brought you in from the outside so that you can make the right decisions. So we're relying on you for that. But I think it's critical that you keep this board informed. I don't like just learning about this today. We have to have very intentional and consistent conversations about the status of our financial health. So let's talk about that, Member Snively, Madam Chair, if you don't mind, about what that really looks like, whether it's we have more finance committee meetings, or if we're having more workshops, or if we're dedicating more time at the school board meetings. But when we talk about the one thing that we do as a board, the seven of us, is making sure that the financial health of this district is intact. And so here we are again, compromised. So I certainly want to see more focus and conversation about this. Thank you again for allowing me to put on our request, and you'll host that workshop, Member Snively. Thank you.
Okay, so that was in July. And, you know, to Tammy Schamberger, like, obviously this just didn't hit you today. If y'all have been reading, all of y'all, not just you sis, but if y'all been reading the consent agenda, you would realize that there is millions upon millions of dollars that are being spent every month. Not sure where it's going. And there's months where we spend a lot of money, but the kids were home. School wasn't open. Buses weren't taking people to school. And so there's questions here. Question on the floor. Is the finance committee just on paper? Something just doesn't connect. Either they know and they're playing dumb, or they don't know and they haven't been included in the conversation. Well, so from my understanding, the finance committee is not just on paper. They actually meet. And there's actually records that you can request on their meetings. Now, in fact, it's public on their website. So let's go ahead and take a field trip real quick, because I do want to make sure that people understand that, you know, I'm just not on the internet just making stuff up or just talking about stuff just to cause any problems. I've been talking about this money for quite some time now. And now we're seeing articles about how they're going to have to, you know, borrow money to meet payroll. But they said that in July. So, you know, a lot of people are now paying attention to this September, October-ish, but this has been happening all summer and they've been still approving and spending money. Okay, so we're going to go to the board and we're going to go to board committees. Let's go ahead and share my screen here. Okay, this is right here on the website, okay? So board committees here, it says that they meet regularly. Yes. And just for point of clarification, regardless of who's on a financial committee or not, all of them are responsible for balancing the budget. That's their job. And that is what they were out here campaigning and saying that they were going to do. And I don't understand why some of these people who have lost this money is still out here campaigning and saying that I'm the only choice, when clearly your decision making on the board serving as the chair is one of the reasons why we're here in the first place. But anywho, so this is right on the website, okay? And it talks about the finance committee, okay? You have Gretchen Saunders, which is a district employee who does the finances, which how she has a job after multiple times of money being squandered in this district is beyond me. It would not happen in a multi-billion dollar corporation, and it should not happen in a public education system. But anywho, then you have the board members. Now, I wanted to know why Tamara Schamberger's name was listed first. Clearly, it's not an alphabetical order. So I wanted to know if these were people that was head over the committee, if their name listed first has some type of priority, but I still haven't received a clear answer to that. So let's just say for all purposes that they're all equal here and that there is no chair of a committee. Okay. So with that being said, on the website here, you have the finance committee, which again, I pulled. Now, okay, upcoming meeting dates, there is none. Now, if you go to the past meeting dates, you know, they have meeting dates where they've met. OK, well, so the finance committee, the last time that they met was June 9th, 2020. This is what the website says. So, again, when I go back and I play Tamara Schamberger's comment, I'm like, but sis, so did you not have a meeting to have a conversation with this? How are you acting like and you're on the record saying that you don't know? So either back to what you were saying, Veronica, either they're playing dumb and or they really don't know. I'm here to tell you that they're playing dumb and they're playing political games because it's very clear. Following the consent agenda is very clear. Okay. And they should be following this. They should have followed this in April when the Fitch rating came out and was all over circulating about how they have they decline in their Fitch rating and they're a negative. So I don't know how they're going to get a loan really and how they're going to get approved. But I just want to go back because I want to talk about, you know, what happened just at the last meeting when they were talking about this issue. Okay. So let's go ahead and get this together. Now watch this.
Into our discussion item. So we'll start with Member Stewart.
Thank you. And on the consent agenda, Superintendent, can you just highlight item 602, which is the establishment of the $100 million line of credit and an explanation for that, please?
Yes, ma'am. Through the vice chair, you know, this is an annual item that comes to the board. This is a, you know, it's really part of, you know, just in case where there is any type of disaster, any type of hurricane, any potential disaster that we may interact with in a school district, this line of credit continues to allow us to use and leverage it. This is something that has never been used, but it is part of best practices to be able to bring it to the board to address any unforeseen circumstance. And this is just continued common practice. This has been in place since 1986, 1987, and nothing new that has been brought to the board. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any additional questions, Member Gray?
So, you know, Addison Davis goes up here and then wants to say that, you know, this loan is needed for, you know, extraneous stuff and this is best practices. I just want to have like a little game. For the next board meeting, I want you to count how many times Addison Davis says back best practices, okay? Because it just seems to me that everything is best practice. I'm not sure what book he's getting it from, what expertise he has with these best practices. Not really sure, but everything seems to be best practice. And I'm not sure if getting a loan from Wells Fargo to pay payroll would be best practices because you're basically robbing Peter to pay Paul because you're waiting on those property taxes to hit, which was what you've done before, which is why you had a negative fund balance last year around this time. It just so happens that this time there are more millions that are leaving. And according to this consent agenda, there's more millions that have left this organization this go around than the time before. So now the money is shorter on top of the COVID and the, you know, sales tax and all that stuff going on. So folks, I'm telling you, follow the money, be intentional because people lie, receives don't. And I keep telling y'all that these people are lying and they playing games. So again, like if y'all want some, solutions here. Y'all need to follow the money and ask questions. For example, this invoice right here, I'm still trying to figure out about this invoice. I want to know who approved this? How is this being paid for? But this is in black and white. This is what the district provided me. This is what they provided me. So I don't know what else to tell you other than to follow the money, follow these receipts, and really be intentional, folks. Because, you know, at the end of the day, people I receive don't. And this is your taxpayers' money. If you live in Hillsborough County, this is your money. And okay, we talking about the MERV filters. We had discrepancies on how much it costs. You know, I did an episode about that. So again, these are questions that you can ask to follow this money, because I'm telling you that we're here, folks. And there's a lot of stuff that's going on, and people need to be intentional. I promise you, because everything is coming to the light. So about this money situation, couple action items. Okay, I got a text message during this whole thing, and someone says, well, on a committee that I was on, you know, Melissa was the chair of the committee and she's listed first. So it's safe to assume that Tamara Schamburger is the chair of the finance committee. So if that is true, based on the text message I just received while being on this episode, thank y'all. I appreciate y'all keeping me in the loop. So with that being stated, sis, Tamara Schamburger, if you are the chair of the finance committee, I want to know, what did you discuss and what did you lead on June 9th, 2020? I just want to go ahead and pull it back up just so all hearts and minds are clear. On June 9th, 2020, we had a conversation at 1:30 p.m. at Rozac. The finance committee contained Tamara Schamburger, Melissa Snively, and Steve Kona. Coincidentally, all the people who have the biggest mouths about this situation with no solutions. So with that being stated, I want to know, okay, what you talked about. I still want to know. And meanwhile, sis is out here and she's talking about,
there is no other option for our community.
Right. But meanwhile, there's money that's missing, squandered, and everything else. And there's people walking around here that don't even know and act like they have no idea where this money went. But that's y'all job and y'all responsible for it. And that's y'all duty. It's beyond me. I'm going to leave y'all with that because I'm getting frustrated. And I just want you to have a great weekend. Start asking questions, folks, because people lie, receipts don't. Thank y'all for tuning in to Morning Teen Allegations. See you tonight at 6 p.m. with District 1 and District 3.
We just keep my name about your mouth. And mind your business.